let's see, a few topics, a few little things here and there. I want to finish up something we did yesterday. We'll come back a little later. I want to start something fresh about Kiddush, dying al Kiddush Hashem. Parshas Va'era is a, unfortunately, a very painful and realistic topic. Holocaust, over 6 million people died al Kiddush Hashem. Rabbi Isai. Rabbi Isai, please. Rabbi Isai. Okay, let's talk about the sugya, just briefly, the sugya of giving up one's life al Kiddush Hashem. Okay, we all have relatives who died al Kiddush Hashem in the Holocaust, and a very important principle of Kiddush Hashem is presented here in the Chazal in Parashas Va'era relating to the Sephardim, the frogs. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, please. Okay, what is the sugya? What is the sugya of the Sephardim? Hashem says, Moshe says, that the Sephardim will come into your home. Let me find the pasuk. And you know, it's interesting. Wasn't you were thinking the big picture of things? It wouldn't even be necessary why they had to die to begin with. But yet, we have to analyze this a little more carefully. The frogs. Let's read what it says. Let's read the psukim. We'll do it the right way. Here it is. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, emor el Aaron, say to Aaron, nitei esyotcha b'bimah. Now let's give him a little bit back. I'm going to go back and talk about it. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, boil paro v'yomartei lov, koyomer Hashem, shalach esmi v'yavduni. Send forth my people and they shall v'yavduni, they will serve me v'im. Mo'ein atal l'shalayach, hinei onochi nogev es kol gevulcha batz. Okay, to Shwana. Bat Sephardim, I will afflict. Maybe not, I don't even know. It's called Gvulcha with, is it Bat Sephardim? Shwana?
Here it says
Bat. No, but I think it's a Shwana. Bat Sephardim, fine. I will smite your entire boundary with frogs. At Sephardim. By the way, is it called a frog or is it a crocodile? Okay, some argue that it's not called really a frog; it was really crocodiles. Crocodiles is a lethal creature. Yeah. The bite, the amount of power, the jaws are it's astronomical. The number, the amount of a crocodile.
They must have bigger ovens if they.
Maybe they were mini crocodiles. Maybe these crocodiles are extinct. It was one big crocodile, and Moshe hit that, and they all began. They were hitting the people. They began to swarm a little. Listen, we don't know what this means exactly, but when you say the word crocodile, if you ever seen the documentary,
it is a
frightening. Yeah. It is just horrific to see what a crocodile can do.
Stories in Florida all the time. What goes on?
It's just.
Those are alligators. Those aren't crocodiles.
They're very similar. Alligator and crocodiles. They're cousins. they're cousins. They're half brothers.
What do you bury the alligator?
Okay, they're very similar. Okay, but they're.
They're lethal
creatures. Now, by the way, there is the one thing about a crocodile that is that if the crocodile already the force of a crocodile, this Rabbi Isai, please. The crocodile. One thing though, people don't know about a crocodile is that the crocodile, the force it can, the power it has to bite, is frightening, but it has very little power to open its mouth. So if you're able to get the crocodile to shut its mouth, it's relatively very easy to keep it shut. Once the crocodile's mouth is shut, if you take a rope and you tie it around its,
you use masking tape.
Even right, you take masking tape.
These guys who wrestle with alligators, the whole idea is they keep the mouth shut. And then they wrap it up and
just don't get in its way when its mouth is open. Because when its mouth is open and they close it, it's deadly. But once their mouth is shut and you want to keep it shut, even just taking, like you say, masking tape and tying it around its mouth, it has the muscles that it has to open the mouth are very weak. It has enormous koyach to,
I think it's something like 2,000 tons.
Okay, a ton is 1,000 pounds.
2,000.
2,000 pounds?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're dealing with enormous, enormous power. But to open its mouth, it can't open its mouth. It cannot open its mouth. That is a very powerful limud hamusar. It's the power of limud hamusar is like, you know, the dealing over here with power, the whole that itself is koich hamusar over here in this makkah is to close the mouth. When the mouth is open, when your mouth is open,
it's dangerous.
It's very dangerous. Yeah. And it's very dangerous. But when the mouth is closed, it's not so dangerous. It's a Musa Haskel of the Koyach Adiba. Exactly.
Right.
Each makkah, Chazal tell us, was a makkah for Egypt and was a refuah for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael were paying very close attention to the makkahs and were learning lessons from the makkahs. Even more important lessons than what the Egyptians were learning. It's a makkah for the Egyptians, and it is a refuah for Klal Yisrael. And the Musa Hasl of a Klal Yisrael to see a crocodile with its mouth open, the enormous destruction it can cause, and pain, and what it can do, can literally eat up a person alive. But once the mouth is shut, then it's not so dangerous. You just put a little schmear on it, you put a little masking tape, you take some string and you tie it around its mouth, it cannot open up its mouth. It's harmless. It cannot cause any damage. That's an amazing Musar Hasna. By the way, all this only based on the assumption that I'm telling you that a tzardeya is a crocodile, not a frog. Okay, Rabbi Deutsch, what's his first name? Rabbi Deutsch from the Living Torah Museum. I once heard him give a whole shiur on this. He's thoroughly convinced, it's his opinion, that it's... I don't know what his first name is. The person who is the founder of the one that... Bar Park, the Living, they have in Lakewood, they have other places, the Living Torah Museum. It is an amazing, amazing place, and he's an incredible person. He published even Svarim, beautiful books about all the things that he has inside the museum, explains everything very well. You have to listen to him. His koyach is in his koyach adibor. You listen to him give a tour of the museum, and he explains things. It's really, really amazing. And he's convinced thoroughly, at least when the last time I heard him speak about this, is that the tzardeh is a crocodile. And that really is a game changer. It's a game changer in many different ways. And this Musa Haskel of a crocodile, of the koyach, a force of coming down, is very strong, but going up is not so strong. Okay, now, going back, so over here he is warned, I'm going to smite. It's called Gulcha Batzardim, the Shrat Sayyar Batzardim. Okay, the Yar will swarm with Tzardim, the Aluli will enter. Uvahu bivei secha, in your home, uvachadar mish kovicha, your bedroom, vialmito secha, on your bed, uvivei savodecha, uvi amecha, and here it says, uvi sanurecha, in your ovens, uvi mish aloi secha, your feeding, your bowls, or feeding trough,
kneading dishes,
okay, your kneading dishes. So the question over here is, there are a lot of questions. This makkah, for some reason, doesn't say that the animals, when it was oroif, the oroif went into the ovens.
Yeah.
Doesn't say when there was kinim, that the kinim also went into the oven. Okay, it only when it comes to the tzardeya, it is going to come into your bedroom. Right, everyone, the joke is Paro in his pajamas. that was really a makkah smachoris, right? But like, what? In your bedroom? What does that mean, in your bedroom? Your bedroom? When it comes to Oroif, doesn't say the Oroif went into your house, went into your bed. Even if it went into your house, didn't go into the bedroom. Doesn't say. Maybe it did. Doesn't say. Here, it's a little bit bizarre. I mean, that's not the right word. What's it going over here? It's going to come over here, uvachadar mishkavichov almito, sell in your bed. It's going to come into your bedroom, and it's going to be on your bed. You think, you know, you have all these stories of people sitting on their bed, screaming on their bed. They're on their bed, and their bed is floating in the ocean. So you're on the bed. What's going on over here? On your bed, your servants. So maybe you'll move in with your servants. My house is infested with termites. So I'll move into my servant's home. I have a home for my servants. You know, like I went to the convention, I learned that, you know, they have waiters. You know, they have an enormous number of staff that work at these conventions. Incredible staff. So, you know, a regular person, they give a room, a beautiful room to a couple. Where do all the waiters sleep? Where do they all, what do they do? So I don't know. It's very interesting what they do with all the staff. You'd be shocked. Someone told me he works in kashrus. He traveled the world, and he works in kashrus. He's a mashkiach, Rav Machsher. I'm friendly with him from where, and he told me that he says in some places they take a room and they put in the room like 20 waiters, and they even have a waiter sleep in the bathtub. They put a blanket
the
in
the old-fashioned, not the new bathtub.
They put a waiter in sleep in the bathtub. They fill up room with cats, and they just, that's what goes on. So you'll think, listen, if there are termites in my home, I'll just move in with my servants. No. You can't escape. You cannot. The major theme, see, this is the second Makkah. Makkah's dam, you could escape. For money, it says in Chazal, for money, you go to the Jews became very rich. For some reason, the only ones that had had blood was the Egyptians. But if you go to a Jew and you pay him money, he'll give you water, and it stayed water. So there was a solution for the rich and famous how they can avoid the Makkah. It started out very, very okay. Dam, it's a big inconvenience when you turn on the tap water; it's blood. But if we go to the Jew and we give him a couple of dollars, he'll all turn on his tap water and it'll be water. We'll have bottled water. When do you think they invented bottled water? Bottled water was invented. It's Makkah's dam. Because there was a solution. If there are bugs in the water, if the water is polluted, so you pay a few dollars and you buy bottled water from the Jews.
It wasn't Poland
sprinkled. Whatever it was, but there was a solution. Bottled water. The second, so the Egyptian says, you know what? We can live with it. Hashem's going to try to get us. Money, you can solve all problems. There's blood. Hashem is trying to threaten us. We have money. We'll buy bottled water. We'll solve the problem. And it worked. Comes now the second Makkah. There's no escape. There is no escape from what you're going to suffer now. They are tzfardim. Whether they're crocodiles, whether they're frogs, they're going to come into your house, into your bedroom, on your bed. You think only your house is infested with this? You want to go to your servants? Who are your servants, by the way? Who are the servants of the Egyptians? The Jews. So does that mean that the Jews also had it? It says in the home of your servants? I mean, the servants of the Egyptians, they probably had different types of servants. They had Jewish servants and they had non-Jewish servants.
No, but once the Makkah started, then already the slavery started.
Right.
Before.
So it says when by the Makkah first, right. It says even the foreigners were killed. So probably they were the Filipino servants.
Okay, all of this is because it says, Avadim, 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 Avadim. The whole din of Yetzias Mitzrayim is we were avodim hoyinu lefara. That's what it says in the Haggadah. It's how we start the Haggadah. You can't do not. Avodim hoyinu lefara. So when it says over in this pasuk that I'm giving you a makkah, v'sharat sayyar tzvardim, v'yol uvol b'vistecha, v'chadar mishkevecha, v'avon tzvecha, uv'beis avodecha. The home of your servants. What does that mean exactly? Who are the servants? We were the servants. Avodim hoyinu lefaro. I don't know exactly, because Klai Yisrael obviously did not start from the Makkos, or did they? There's a big discussion. There's a lot of discussion about exactly the Jews, what was the degree of discomfort that the Jews had during the Makkos. The whole society was disrupted. Did the Jews also suffer discomfort? If I'm not mistaken, the different opinions. Right. Each Makkah, you have to study exactly what happened and to what, look, during Choshech, 4/5 of the Jewish people, according to Rashi, died. That's not called suffering. We didn't suffer in Egypt. If 4/5 died, what's there more to say? Not so clear, but the basic theme over here is, in this Makkah, no one is going to escape. There is no place to escape, not even in your oven, and not even in your kneading bowls. There is absolutely no way to avoid, and Hashem comes after you. There is nothing you can possibly do. Now, what's interesting is, even in the oven, you think, oh, the oven is, will go into an environment that is not friendly to crocodiles. So crocodiles don't go into ovens, so we'll live in the oven. You know, I don't know how they'll protect themselves in the oven. No, there's nowhere you can possibly escape. Now, fine. And what happens? Vayed Aaron es Yodam skipping sukim. And what happens? Vayed Aaron es Yodam yalmim in Mitzrayim. The Talat Sardim v'Tachaser es Mitzrayim vayatzchen chartumim. And they did the same thing. Vayasukhen chartumim below tehem vayalu es hatzvardim al eretz Mitzrayim vayikafar lemoshe l'Aaron vayim lahatul al Hashem v'yoser hatzvardim mimeni u'miyami va'ashalicha esam. Okay, let's go further. Now, hispar means pride yourself over me. Hispo'er olai. Glorify yourself. Olai. Moshe says, when do you want them to leave? Test them. In other words, test me. Test me. Hispo'er olai l'mosai. What time l'mosai when atir l'cha? I'll daven now. And I'll ask Hashem that it should go away at the time that you want. L'cha v'la'avodecha u'la'amcha l'achris hatzardim v'imcha v'mibotecha rak v'ayet ha'sha'arna v'ayim
l'machar. Why didn't he say now? I'm sure.
Because Paro, the assumption was that Paro thought that this over here is not a divine act. It's some type of magic or some type of phenomenon and it has to come to an end and you timed it at this exact moment, thinking that I'm going to come to you now, and I'm going to say, okay, I'm sorry, and it's going to leave right away. Not expecting me to say to you, you know what? We can live with it. Let it go away in a week from now.
Wasn't the first Marcus that by magic, they repeated it?
Yeah.
Say it again?
Right.
So they
They can repeat this also.
They can do this also. So they thought, exactly. That's what Rav Leizer is saying, good. That it tells us, since the Chartum were able to imitate this Makkah, so Moshe, you're not doing this from Hashem. This is something which is science. There's some type of scientific technique.
Well, that's what the word bin la'at pe'em is different. Once it says without a hay, right. Once it says with a hay.
The different types of magic.
It's an incantation.
There are different types of magic, right? One is bilatim, bilatim. There are different types of magic. This is not something which is from Hashem. It is something that is scientific. We are also experts in science, maybe not as good as you, Moshe, but one thing that we know that this phenomenon that you can do with magic can only last for a short period of time. It's already past its expiration date. And it's certainly going to go away on its own. You just a chacham to figure out when to bring it upon us and to make believe it comes from Hashem. But you know what, Moshe? Let's really test you. We'll live with it. We'll suffer just to show you. Incredible psychology here. We will suffer just to show you up. We're going to live with the frogs, the tzardim, until tomorrow. And if it's really divine, then enochinami, it will last, then you have power, it can last another day. But if it's not divine, it's nothing more than science, nothing more than magic, whatever this thing is, then it's impossible, it will have to leave, the expiration date has arrived, we are familiar with this science, maybe not as sophisticated as you, but we're familiar with this, and our knowledge of this technique tells us it's going to end now. So don't make believe that it's going to be your prayers that are going to cause it to end right now. If this is really from Hashemayim, you know what? Let it go away tomorrow at 12 o'clock and we'll see then if this is scientific, if this is magic, science, or it's from Hashem. So Moshe says, fine, it'll go away tomorrow. Gesundheit, Atilcha, fine. And it goes, and then the Pasuk says, now here's the part that's important. Vayomer l'machar, fine, tomorrow. Vayoymer kidvarcha l'kidvarcha l'man teidaki ein kashem l'keinu. And then it v'soru hatzar de'im. Mimicha, umibotecha, umayavodecha, umayamecha, rak by arati sha'arna. What about the ovens? How come it does not say... No, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk 10, later on, pasuk. Vayas Hashem kidvar Moshe. Vayomusu, Okay, this is the key pasuk. Vayomusu hatzvardim min habotim min hachatzeros umin hasodois. How come it doesn't say that they died from the oven? Pasuk test in Rashi. It's a famous Rashi. Pasuk test. There is no pasuk test here. There's not the right Rashi. So where is the Chazal? Okay, 1 second over here. Let me just put this on mute. Taka didn't die. That's what Chazal say. The reason why it only says here Vayomusu hatzardim min abotim min hachatzeros min hasodois, maybe it's the Targum Yudas min Uziel. Give me one moment. Let me see what it says over here. Parshas Vo'era. I mark this off. Okay, here it is. So what happened? So it's okay, here it is. And it does not say they died from the oven. Why not? Because those sardim lived. Who says this? The Baal HaTurim says this. This is from the Baal HaTurim. And the Mekor is from the Yalkut. The Medrash. Dorash todos, ish romi, maro chananya mishova azari yishemoshu atznafshon l'kivshonesh, they threw themselves into the furnace. Nosu kal v'choymer b'yatsin, they made a kal v'choymer. What was the kal v'choymer? Mitzvar di'im. U'ma tzvar di'im shein mitzvosan al kiddush shein, k'sibuchem v'yu uvo b'vitecho v'chadai b'shkovecho uvitanu necho v'sharosecho, they went into the ovens. Emosai a mosai, masheres mitz. What does this mean? Masheres mitzuya betanur, b'shah. Oh, the kneading trough. So this is the drash. I never knew this. The drash is that the smichus advarim. The smichus, it says here, as Rav Mordechai pointed out, mishalasecha means the kneading bowl. When is the kneading bowl active? When the oven is fired up. Maybe the oven is off. If the oven is off, so I'll live in the oven. No, the oven is 1,000 degrees. When is the oven heated up? When the dough is in the kneading bowl. That's the Gemara's drasha. So there are two words together which are put together. The oven and the kneading bowl. The drasha is emosai. Masheres mitsuya batanur. When is the kneading bowl found in the oven? I thought they would stick the bread to the walls of the oven. It seems that these were different types of ovens where they did not stick the dough to the walls, but they put it, says Beferish, emosai masheres mitsuya bitanur bishaw shehatanur cham. Anu, so therefore, frogs do not have bechira chofshes. They do not have free will. They have no reward and punishment. They're not, I should say, they're not free will or whatever it means, but there's no reward for them. And yet, when Hashem told them, you shall go into the oven, they went. And don't say the oven was cold. The oven was hot, was burning hot, because there are two words in this pasuk, tanurecho mish'aroisecha, the kneading bowl. When is the kneading bowl active? When the oven is hot. These each, and one of the Mefarshim will say, each frog or each crocodile could have said, why should I be the one to go into the oven? There are another million frogs. I'll go into someone's bed. I'll go into someone's pool. I'll go into the jacuzzi. Right? Why should I be the one that has to go into the oven? Let someone else do it. Okay? No, each one of these creatures did the Ritzoin Hashem. It's an amazing thing. It goes against the whole nature, and therefore Chananya, Mishael, Azariah, they made a Kal V'Chomer. If the frogs decided, even though they could have easily exempted themselves, let someone else do it. They did not. Certainly we, who are Hashem's servants, are commanded to give up our life. Certainly we have to do it. What was the reward to these frogs? The reward of the frogs was they lived. The rewards was Shakol Hatz Sardemesu V'Oison sheyardu letanur. That's what it says in the Yalkut. Loy meisu. How do you know they didn't do amimnei moshu atzvam l'shem? Because they were willing to give up their lives. The frogs, the crocodiles, did not die. How do you know they did not die? Because it says here in the pasuk vayomusu, and it enumerates which frogs died. Vayomusu atzardim. Which ones died? Let me find the pasuk again over here. Only the ones that. And it does not say the frogs in the oven died. Okay, so this is an amazing concept of the source, a source of Hananya, Mishael, Azariah learned a lesson from these tzardim. Okay, now, the Sardim is this.
The frogs
did not take an excuse. I think Rav Chaim Shulevitz says this. The frogs, each frog could have said that, why should I be the one? Let another frog go in.
But you said before they don't
have a chilu. Oh, so you're asking very good questions. I don't know the answer. These are not living creatures. We don't know what goes on in their mind. We don't know the level of Bechira. You're right. These are very difficult questions. But Chazal make this in the Yalkut. The Baal HaTur brings it down, parts of it. And Rav Chaim Shulevitz develops upon this. These are the facts. The facts are, we have a Makav of Tzardim. They were commanded to go into the oven. We have a drasha. It says oven and kneading bowl. When is the kneading? The two are Hukash Zela Zeh. To teach us that the ovens were not cold. The ovens were hot. They were active. When is the kneading bowl found in the oven? When the oven is hot. And the command was that Tzfaradim should go into the ovens. And we find that when it came, when they died, when the Makkah was over, Vayamusu, the Pasuk was out of its way to tell us only specifically certain types of only certain crocodiles died. Not all of them. Many of them, some of them did not die. One is left out, because the way he explains over here in the Sefer is, it should have just said, Vayomusu hatzardim, period. And Vayitzbiru oisam chomorim. Why does it have to go tell us only these tzvardim died? Only the ones that went into the bottom, those are the ones that died. Why do you have to go? We know where they all went. To tell you, no, you have to understand, only certain tzvardim died, not all of them. Only the ones that were from the Botim, the Chatziros, and the Sadois, only they died. But the Tzvaradim that went into the oven is omitted in this pasuk to indicate that they did not die. Why did they not die? As a reward. A reward for being Moiser Nefesh. If Tzvaradim that do not have Schar V'Oinish, as we understand, even they were willing to do Hashem's bidding to give up their lives, to go into a burning hot oven, which would automatically mean they would die, Allah has Kam V'Kama, we should do the same. So this is a critical makar that Chazal focus on to teach us. But Hananya, Mishael v'Azariah, they willingly allow themselves to be thrown into the Kivshono Esh. Now you have to work backwards. This seems to indicate, and this is what I want to get to, is that Hananya, Mishael v'Azariah, if they wanted to, could have pulled some strings and not died. Okay, in fact, there are actually Mamari Chazal, they saw what was coming. They saw what was coming, that the Nebuchadnezzar, he made for himself a statue that everyone has to bow down to. He made himself into a god, and he was setting up the stage in order to trap people like Hananya, Mishael, Azariah to die, to be eliminated from this earth. And they saw a Zeu Chochem Horoye Es HaNoilad, and it would seem that Hananya, Mishael, Azariah had an opportunity to escape. And they chose not to. They chose that the situation was such that it would be kedai for them to be moiser nefesh al kiddush Hashem. And they looked at the frogs. The frogs, whatever you want to call the tzardim, each one of the tzardim did not have to be the one. They could have escaped. And they said, you know what? If Hashem wants it, Adarabba will be the ones that will do it. And if they do not have reward and punishment, we're willing to do it. So therefore, we who have reward and punishment, we're bedafka not going to escape. We're going to willingly give ourselves up al kiddush Hashem. Now, you read what I just told you. It sounds a little bit strange. Because talk about Nazi Germany, and people, anyone that would have known what was coming, without a shadow of a doubt, would have run for their lives. Okay, and the people that, like Rav Elchanan Wasserman, who chose to go into the inferno and die, was because he wanted to be with the people that at that point could no longer escape. They couldn't get him out. There was no visas, there was no money, there was no this, no that. So the people that went willingly to die was because they didn't want to leave behind their people. They felt that it's their moral duty to be with them to the bitter end. But if the whole yeshiva, if everyone could get out, they clearly would have got out. Rav Aaron Kotler left Kletsk. He went to America. They were able to get him. They got him a visa. And he wasn't going to go. If you read the whole history, it's fascinating. In the Mishpacha magazine article, Rav Aaron Kotler did not want to go. Many of his Talmidim, they ended up dying. They were all killed. The vast majority of the Kletzka Talmidim were killed. They were killed. And Rav Aaron, he left them, and he said, "I'm not going." And then he got a letter, a message from his father-in-law, Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer, who was living in the area, and said to him, "You pick yourself up and you get out of there now. Don't go give me excuses that you cannot leave." He didn't want to leave. He would have died with his Talmidim. He would have died with his Talmidim, and his father-in-law forced him to leave. Rav Aaron Kotler. He would have died gladly with his Talmidim, and he said, "You have to." And I think he told him, "You have a visa. You're able to go. You'll be able to help them from escaping." And that's exactly what he did. He did everything that he could possibly. The second he came to America, the second he got, it was before the whole details. The first thing was, we got to get working. Who can we talk to? Every second of the day. Working, who to talk to, where to go, bribe money, illegal activity, to get out the Talmidim. And he tried. Some of them, Taka, did escape. There are things that he did, they write about it again and again, that when he left them, it was an emotionally draining experience like we can't even believe. They write that a few times in this article. It must have haunted him his whole life, leaving his Talmidim, knowing what's basically about to happen. And Mochan Wasserman was in America, and they begged him not to leave, and he not to return, and he went. He returned to be with them, to die with them. So this is a very difficult thing over here. This you learn from Hananiah Mishael Azariah. They learn from the Tzvaridim. Now, why am I saying this? Because when we say the Slichos on Yom HaKippurim, we know we have the Asara Haruge Malchus. There's the long version and the shorter version. On Yom Kippur, we read the longer version. We read the version Eila Ezkera. It's a much more elaborate version of the Asara Haruge Malchus. On Tisha B'Av, we read Arzei Halavonin. Arzei Halavonin is pretty short. It's not such a long kina. And I mentioned many times, I have a sefer at home that has a collection of 42 compositions, either piyutim, slichos, kinois on the Asura Haruge Malchus, composed by kadmoinim, people from hundreds of years ago, the time of the Kalir, a little bit later, probably not past the 15th century. Authentic piyutim from very great people, based upon Mamari Chazal. I think he has their 42 piyutim. They're all they're different. There are a lot of major differences between them. And again, a lot of everything there is sourced. He works on it. I don't know exactly the details, but he sources all the statements that are made there. And even there's a very big disagreement as to exactly who were the Asura Haruge Malchus. That's not for now. But the point is, there are many different versions. It is the mythic of Ashkenaz, not the Sfaradim, to recite on Tisha B'Av Arzei Halavonin, and to recite Yom Kippurim, to recite Eila Ezkera. Now, in Eila Ezkera, there's a line there that is very, very, I don't know what you want to say, frightening, interesting, a little surprising, and that is when the Roman authorities let it be known that they're going to kill them. Okay, the Asura Haruge Malchus took place over at least over a 52-year period of time, but when it was the story there is explained that he read the Torah. He wanted to see what it says in the Torah, the Hegmon, and he saw that there was Mechiras Yosef, and he said, "How could it be that nine brothers sold Yosef? You know what? I'm going to take it upon myself to take revenge. Who asked you? I'm going to take it upon myself to take revenge. And he went and he filled up a whole room of shoes. Again, everyone knows, in order to show them, what did the brothers do with the money they got for selling Yosef? They bought shoes. So they realized, the people of that generation, what's coming next. And then it says, Tihar Rebbe Yishmael. I don't have it in front of me. They took away the machzor in this room. Used to have a room over here, but I don't have it. I'm not going to go look for it now. But it says there's something to the effect that Rabbi Yishmael, who was one of the Asadu Gimalkus, he was Metahir himself, and he went, he said, listen here, guys, don't do anything yet. Don't kill us yet until we have a consultation with Shemayim. And he went to Shemayim, and he spoke to the Malachim in Shemayim, and they said, Yeah, we have heard me'achoyre hapargoid, from behind the curtain, that this gezeira is a real gezeira. It was a gezeira that has been handed down from Shemayim, that there are going to be asora haruge malchus. Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, he comes down from heaven, and he says, okay, we're ready. What in the world is going on here? If Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol has the ability to go to Shemayim and have a consultation, don't you think he's able to escape? If he has such power to go up to Shemayim, so why don't you say the Shem Hashem and come to America and enjoy yourself in the morning kollel? What are you doing there with the Romans, letting them kill you? What's going on over here? So let's go back to Hananya Mishael Azaria. The Mefarshim say, I remember seeing this very clearly, Hananya Mishael Azaria, they didn't have to die. They could have easily escaped. In fact, I think there are indications that Nebuchadnezzar did not want them to die. He says, you know, I have a society. I want to get rid of religion from society. You guys are good guys. You're very talented. I need you in the government. I need you to help me. So just get out of here. In the meantime, get out of here and let me wipe out all these religious people. And you're not going to have any followers, any people to be with you. You'll be a yechidim and you'll come back and you'll work for me, whatever. No, they deliberately decided, we're going to die. We're going to make a public spectacle of ourselves. And we're going to, how dare you challenge Hashem? We're not just mitzvah sanashem milimudu. We're going to die al kiddush Hashem, just like the Tzvardim. The Tzvardim could have escaped. They could have easily, each one could have said, listen, there are a billion of us. Let someone else go into the fire. We'll live. No. They competed. That's what it seems to say. Who is going to be the one? It was like a zuchus. Who is the one that's going to have the merit to go into the furnace? So, you know, even though Nebuchadnezzar, you're giving us an opportunity to escape, no, we don't want to escape. You want to go and eradicate Hashem's name from this world? Adara, and we could escape? Adarabah. We'll go al kiddush Hashem. You see exactly the same thing in the slicha of Ela Eskera, Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, he told the executioner, not so fast. Don't kill us so fast. Let's have a consultation in Shemayim. If in Shemayim they tell us that there's a gezerah, okay. If in Shemayim they tell us there's no gezerah, don't you dare touch us. You think you have control over us? It won't work. We'll escape. We know how to escape. We know what to do to get out of here. Whether it's al derech hateva, we have friends and government that we can call upon that will save us, or we can use supernatural techniques to save us. What is this all about? So the Mefarshim say something which I think is very, very relevant for today's society, and that is, when they went to Shemayim, there are certain times, there's a very deep idea. I remember when learning Tisha B'Av, I saw this, and I think I said it over, but I remember that I didn't sit over well. I'm not going to sit over well now. And the more you hear news, problems of anti-Semitism and issues, somehow it always comes back these thoughts. It says in the Mefarshim, the parish of this kingdom, that he went to Shemayim to ask them, what is going on? Is this gezer upon Klal Yisrael? Is it a gezer min HaShemayim for reasons that we do not know? Or is it just, there's no gezeira min hashamayim. There is no gezeira, a specific gezeira, that there should be a sora harugi malchus to accomplish some mystical thing. It just happens to be in this world, there's crime. There are people out there, that's the way the world is. The world is full of crime. The statistics, the year's end, how many homicides were there, how many thefts were there, how much money was lost to extortion. There are statistics. The city, you know, they have the city every single day, they have a report how people were murdered. New York City. It's a big city. There are 9 million people in New York City. And they have statistics every single day, how many people died, how many people were murdered, how many crimes were committed. They have numbers. They probably can go watch online live as it happens. How many people were murdered. You listen to the radio, this boyfriend killed that girlfriend and this girlfriend killed that boyfriend. All year, the whole day.
GPS.
The way it is, and they are crying. Sometimes Jews get caught up in the middle, and sometimes this what appears to be there's anti-Semitism because they hate us. Why do they hate us? All different types of reasons. And then there's something, a very deep Hashkafic concept. And then there are times, it's not just your ordinary garden variety hatred for the Jew, the garden variety anti-Semitism, crime. There's a gezeirah min hashamayim. A gezeirah min hashamayim, you cannot escape. If it's not a gezeirah min hashamayim, it's just the garden variety anti-Semitism that is a curse in this world from the time of Mechiras Yosef, you can escape. Be smart. Be smart. You have askonim who can go to government, can talk, can fight, can organize. You can be clever. There's bribe money that can be paid in certain situations. There are techniques that you can do that will work. And don't be a fool and allow yourself to be killed for no good reason. It's a very deep Hashkafic principle. And the proof to this Hashkafic principle is two things. The Tzvardim and the Piyut, or the Slicha, of Yom HaKippurim. Rabbi Shmuel says, oh, you want to kill us? Oh, very nice. Before you kill us, I want to go to Shemayim and see what they have to say. If you have the ability to escape this world and go to Shemayim, don't you think Rabbi Shmuel has the koyach to escape the prison? You don't need to be a Houdini anymore. If you're such a Baal Gavra, you go to Shemayim and consult, so don't you think you should say Hashem Hashem and blow up this whole place? What's the problem? No, you don't understand. If this is a gezeira min HaShemayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for reasons that we will never understand, have been goyzer, there's going to be a churban. There's nothing you can do. You can run wherever you want. Chazal, he brings out the Chazal, Hashem has animals, he has, there are accidents, there are all different types of things that can happen. Harbe shluchim lamakim. There is nothing you can do to escape. I have to consult in Shemayim to find out that this that's happening to Klal Yisrael now, that the Romans are issuing gezeiros of Shemad upon the Jewish people. Is this min Hashemayim? Is this that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is flexing his muscles and he's trying to teach the collective neshamos of Klal Yisrael a lesson? There's nothing I can do there. Then I'm going to die al Kiddush Hashem. But if it's now, is nothing special. It's just another day in the history of the Jewish people, and there are always mishagoyim out there who commit crimes, then why should we die? We have friends in government, and we have money, and we have techniques and some tricks up our sleeve which we can do to avoid this confrontation. And therefore he went up with Besiludim to have this consultation. This lesson, personally, I feel is extremely relevant and very tricky in today's society. Every day you hear about crime against Jews. The statistics, these polls, all these different, these of anti-Semitism, and the numbers are rising. It's very tricky. The anti-Semitism that we're suffering today, no one denying, the New York Times has this obsession. They've always had an obsession. It's nothing new. They've always had an obsession with Orthodox Jews in painting them in the worst light possible. They view New York, there are 9 million people, the number of firm Jews there are is a teeny fraction, but for some reason we stand out to them like Martians, and they just love talking about us, and they suddenly have something to write about. It's getting boring to talk about all the boyfriend and girlfriends who kill each other. They need something else to write. You have to ask the question, is this a gzeira min hashamayim? Or is this because we're sloppy, we're not behaving ourselves, where the government is coming to attack Jewish education? Maybe they're right. Maybe we're doing something wrong. Maybe we're taking too much money and not giving back enough in return. Years ago when they started with this, I heard from someone reliable that the government was saying, listen, we know that you steal all our money, but at least you should come out, you know, you should do something at least. Get, you know, at least take some of the money. You want to use the money for who knows what. All right, we understand. We understand the public system. We waste even more money. We burn even more money. But at least have something to show. Show for yourself something. The money we give you, show us some episode. Is it because of gzeira min hashamayim? It's now, you go up to Shemayim, there's a gzeiras hashmad. There's going to be rachmana litzlan, tzaris. I have no idea. But there are people out there, I assume, who do this every single day, who work for the klal, whether it's the OU, or whether it's the aguda, or whether it's yeshivas that are very political organizations that are very well connected. They know. They have a sensitivity. Okay, they definitely have a sensitivity that we do not have. People that are oisik in tzorchei tzibur day in, day out. And you can name two organizations right off the bat, the OU and Agudas Yisrael of America. This is what they do. And they deal with, they look at this, the anti-Semitism, and they look across the country. There are people that lead these organizations, Gedoilim, Askanim, they have a sense. Is it now a time of Shmat? A Gezeira Min HaShemayim? Or it's, we are just sloppy in getting in their way. You have to be a little bit more sophisticated in acknowledging that you're in galus, and halacha b'yaduhi she'es of son of Yaakov, and just don't get in their way. Live your life, have your parties, do your thing, and know how to maneuver. And if there's anti-Semitism, no, so you have to deal with it. But don't go blow the shofar and say, oh, you know, there's a gzeiras hashmad, and everyone's a Nazi, and everyone is a Rasha Marushi Machshmov Zichro, and everyone is this, everyone is that. Also in Israel, the same thing. Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol, he said, let me first have a consultation. And they told him, this is the real deal. If this is the real deal, you know what? There's nothing to do. There's mamish, nothing to do. There's no way to escape. Then you need to go, lech kenois es kol ha-yehudim. V'tsumu alai, v'al toichu, v'al tishu shosha. All of the government, you're fighting with the government, is a waste of time. The only thing then to do is, lech kenois, put all of your efforts and energy into everyone. Every Monday, Thursday, start fasting. Tehillim, start fasting, cancel all the weddings. Government, there's no one to talk to anymore. But if in Shemayim you go to have a consultation in Shemayim, they say, as far as we know, there's no Gezeres HaShmad. It's just you guys are just doing averos, you're misbehaving. Get your act together. So then, adarabah, you go into full gear, and be clever and talk to the government, have a conversation with them and maneuver and you don't have to jump into the oven. Who's asking you to jump into the oven when you can go and you can maybe move to another country? Maybe go and behave yourself. Maybe don't stop taking money from the government. You don't have, you know, who's asking you to dial Kiddush Hashem? Hananya, Mishael, and Azaria learned from the Tzvardeim. There was a gezeira min Hashemayim. There was a gezeira min Hashemayim that said, enter into the oven. Enter the oven. Every single frog could have said, not me. There's another mission. You have to go into the bedroom, on the bed. Not me. Not even one of them should have been there. I'll give you an example. I saw this one example. You talk about the difference between us and them. It's an unbelievable video. There was a class. We live in a country today where there's a very big push for socialism in this country. There are many people who want everything for free to redistribute the wealth. So there was a teacher in high school and said to the class, what do you think about socialism? It is brilliant. We all want to be socialists. Redistribute everyone's money. Okay, let's start here in this class. You know what? On the next exam, you know what we're going to do? We're going to average all of the grades. They're going to be A's, B's, C's, D's, and F's. And everyone's going to get the average. Took the exam. There were students who got an A, students that got B's, got C's. The average was a B minus. Everyone in the class got a B minus. And the weaker students were ecstatic. And the smart were very upset. The next exam, the average grade was a C. The next exam was a D, and the last exam was an F. Why should I study? Why should I study? Let someone else study. Doesn't pay to study. And the teacher gave every student an F, and there's nothing you can do about it. Learn your lesson. You want socialism? You want a communism? You want someone else should work for you? And you should live off them, then you know what happens? Everyone gets an F. Everyone is poor.
That's another story, like something before they decided the whole community will fill up a barrel with wine. So everybody will bring wine to put in. In the end, one thinks, why I should bring in wine? I will put water.
Oh, everyone put water, exactly. Exactly. That is socialism and communism. So here, isn't that what happened by the frogs? The frogs. Hashem said there's a certain number of frogs that have to go into the oven. So the natural result is, it's like communism. Why me? If someone has to go into the oven, why should I go into the oven? The answer was the frog says, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, there's an amuna that there are frogs that must go into the tanur. It is a gezeira min hashamayim. There are frogs, I want to be that one. So when you add religion, it's amazing. Just try to contrast communism versus doing the Ritzoyin Hashem. It's an amazing thing. Why was there even one frog that went into the oven? If all the frogs were communists, there shouldn't have been even one frog that went into the oven. So all of the frogs were capitalists. And you know what the currency of this capitalism is? Yiras Hashem. That's the currency. Kavoid Shem Shemaim. That's the currency. When the currency is Kesef, Then you know, then there would not have been even one, guarantee there wouldn't be one frog. It's such a simple experiment. Do this in any school in the world. Everyone will get an F. That's exactly what that is. It's so simple. And yet all these adult people, they come up with communism. How stupid could they be? You know what? Because it's not about you. It's about them. It's about the few people on the top who just exploit and rob and destroy the whole world. When the currency is selfishness, zero. When the currency is kivoid shamayim, communism works very well. It works very well when it's kivoid shamayim. The frog's currency was kivoid shamayim. What is the shira that the frog say? This perek shira. all the creatures of the world recite the pasuk in honor of Hashem. There's only one pasuk in the entire Perek Shir that is not a pasuk in Tanakh. The whole Perek Shir, every single pasuk in Perek Shir is a pasuk in Tanakh, with the exception of one pasuk that's not in Tanakh anywhere. And that is, Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso Li'olam Vo'ed. Who is the one that says, Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso Li'olam Vo'ed? The frogs, the Tzardin. In Perek Shira, which some say was composed by David HaMelech, the Shira of the Tzardin is Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso Li'olam Vo'ed, because their currency is Kivoid Shemayim, and if their currency is Kivoid Shemayim, even though no one was commanded to go into the fire, they decided they're going to go into the fire for the mother nation, for the motherland. Okay, they're going to go into the fire. And Hananya, Mishol, Va'azariah said, if their currency was Kivoid Shemayim, and they have no Schar Ve'oinesh, Al Achas, Kama V'Kama, Ben Bereshal Kal V'Choymer, how much more our Kivoid Shemayim, our currency, is to go. But the lesson is, the reason why they jumped into the fire is because there was a Gezerah min HaShamayim Uvitanu Recha. If it doesn't say in the pasuk Uvitanu Recha, don't be a fool to go into the fire. Better serve be Mekadesh Hashem by living than by dying. It's because it says Uvitanu Recha Uvimishar Osecha. When is this man? When the Mishar Osecha is in the Tanur. When the Tanur is hot. In other words, there's a Gezerah min HaShamayim. I want to be the one to mekayim that Gezerah. Rabbi Shmuel told the executioner, don't you touch me. I'll turn you into toast. Let me have a consultation if there's a Gezerah min HaShamayim. Oh, there's a Gezerah min HaShamayim. I can't escape. You might as well be the one that will do it. I'll be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim in the most awesome way possible. We're still talking about it. If you would have run away and would have died in a car accident, no one would even know about it. Here, we're still crying over him. He was Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. The Musar Haskel is in our generation, every generation, is always horrible things that happen. People get terrible things. But you really got to ask yourself, is there a Gezerah min HaShamayim b'tanu recha v'mishar osecha? You look back in hindsight, sometimes it's petty crime. Sometimes the person, anti-Semitism, there's good reason for anti-Semitism. Well, what are you misbehaving? What are you flaunting your wealth? What are you doing this? What are you doing? Don't go tell me, oh, it's a Gezerah min HaShamayim. Who's to say? Certainly not me. But libi oimer li, that there are certain people that whose mahus, their neshama, is for the klal. And they are in that position for the klal, and they work for the klal, and they have a sensitivity. And they can tell you when the problem that's facing Klal Yisrael is a Gezerah min HaShamayim, Tanu Recha v'Mishar Osecha, or maybe not. And if it's not, then the whole vote, then talk. If it's not, you got to be smart. If it is Gezerah, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time writing articles to counteract the articles of the New York Times. The only focus should be Lech Kinoises Kol HaYehudim, because it's a whole different ball game. Okay, Rabbi, so have a wonderful day. Oh my.